This is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell.
I'm glad you are with us. Mike is going to join us, hopefully in just a little bit. He is in the air, and he hopes to touch down and be able to join us here in just a little bit. But as they say, the show must go on, right? So we will continue. By the way, did I mention it's hot here in Memphis? Woo, doggy. It is hot. I have a friend of mine up in Minnesota. He tried calling me the other day, telling me how hot it was and how humid it was in Minnesota. Like, really, buddy? Come on down to Memphis. It is amazing. You step outside, and I was outside this morning. Shocker. I got up this morning. I took a shower. Yeah, I do that every morning like everybody else, right? So I get up this morning. I take a shower. I put on a nice dress shirt. Then all I have to do is put on my tie later. I had on long pants and versus, I guess, short pants. I mean, like I'm something from the 1920s, short pants. No, I wear long pants, unless I'm wearing shorts, of course. So I put on a dress shirt and long pants and went outside for about 15 minutes to look around, check on a few things, and literally came back inside, looked in the mirror, and my shirt was wet, just soaking wet. That's Memphis in late July. Wait till August. It gets even better, folks. Come on down. I mean, they ought to pay me to be an advertiser for the Chamber of Commerce, right? I would actually recommend, if you can avoid Memphis in July and August, do so. It's awesome in September, better in October. October, November, the weather is wonderful. December could be 70 degrees and sunny on Christmas Day. I think it was more than 70 degrees this last Christmas. But man alive, it is so hot. How hot is it? It's so hot that the AC in here cannot keep up. It just cannot keep up. So I may end up looking like Richard Nixon in the Kennedy debates. Again, some of you just went right over your head. You have no idea who Richard Nixon is, much less Kennedy. But it's going to look like the Richard Nixon-Kennedy debate. I may be sweating tonight because the ACs just can't keep up. But anyway, it's hot in Memphis today. I'm sure it's hot everywhere. But again, I think it's still pretty funny. My friend in Minnesota thinks they have hot weather up there. It's all relative. All right. Speaking of Minnesota, the Attorney General is going to join us tonight. The next Attorney General of Minnesota, Doug Worlow. Doug, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brandon. Wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me on.
How you doing? Did you hear me talking about your weather in Minnesota?
I did. Yeah. It's just a little hot here, but nothing like what you got down there.
Yeah. One of my friends, he called me like last week. It's so hot and humid here. I'm like, dude. You're in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Don't tell me how hot and humid it is till you come and spend a few weeks in Memphis. But it's all relative, I'm sure, right?
Yes, indeed. No, yeah, things are. Well, we have other problems here in Minnesota. We've got this Attorney General Keith Ellison, you know, the most radical Attorney General in the country, you know. But the weather's pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, the weather's pretty good. I was just talking to some folks last night about going from Duluth up to the Boundary Waters and crossing over and canoeing in Canada and the Boundary Waters. And Minnesota's got a lot of great things. But man alive, they have transformed your state. They have transformed your state. And if they keep this Attorney General they got now, I mean, your state's going to finally reach a point of no return, is it not?
That's exactly right. And we're going down the wrong path, right? And if we go too far down that path, we will pass a point of no return and it will become irretrievable. It'll be like a cold California, but much worse, and we'll never be able to get it back. That's why I'm running for Attorney General. We've got to restore law and order and investigate and prosecute voter fraud. We've got a lot of work to do, and right now we're up against a primary on August 9th. It's coming up fast. My primary opponent is a RINO establishment candidate supported by the RINO establishment elites in our party, and they don't want an America First candidate. They're pouring enormous resources into the race to try to defeat me because they don't want someone who's going to talk about the stolen election last cycle. They don't want somebody who's going to talk about investigating voter fraud or prosecuting voter fraud. They don't want, heaven forbid, you talk about the life issue, right? That's not what they want. They want a moderate Democrat-like candidate. Well, the people are going to send a message on August 9th that they want a candidate who will take bold action on day one to save our state. That's what I'm going to do. We're going to get to the bottom of what happened in 2020. We're going to investigate. We're going to prosecute election fraud, send the message that if you commit voter fraud in the state of Minnesota, you will go to jail. And, you know, that's going to be good for the whole country. We need attorneys general around the country to stand up and to investigate and to prosecute. And right now, there aren't too many that are doing that. So we can set an example here in Minnesota and get to the bottom of what happened. And hopefully others will come that way, too.
Can you imagine if you have Attorney General Doug Wuerlow, Attorney General Matt DiPerno in Michigan? I mean, wow. I mean, that would be something else, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You know, so this race has national significance. And, you know, Keith Ellison, our current attorney general, a lot of people know who that is because he's a national leader of the progressive left. The worst attorney general in the country, bar none, by far. Ally of Ilhan Omar, you know, in his college days, he was basically an acolyte for Louis Farrakhan. The guy's had a career where he has been rallying and raising money for and representing cop killers. And then he's brought his war on the police into the attorney general's office here, destabilizing our state, allowing crime to spread across our state. It is absolutely terrible. And we're going to deliver a strong message on August 9th that we want America First candidate. And then we're going to defeat Keith Ellison on November 8th. So things are looking up here in Minnesota, but could certainly use everyone's support.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. What is your website?
Yeah, the website is DougWardlowAG.com. So DougWardlowAG.com. That's DougWardlowAG.com. Take a look there. You can read up about the campaign. We've got our secure elections plan, our Safe Minnesota plan, and you can make contributions there as well. But this is a national race. We've got to send a strong message, one, that the people of Minnesota and the people of this country are not going to tolerate being lorded over by rhino establishment elites. No, we're going to stand up and we're going to speak for the people, and we are going to win because people want to fix our elections. People want secure elections. People want to figure out what happened and investigate and then prosecute folks for the wrongs that they have committed. And people want to be safe. People want to be safe, and they want to fight for life. You know, my primary opponent, just get this, just about a week ago, he told our major paper in Minneapolis here, the Star Tribune, told them that he supports a 20-week ban on abortions. Well, that's effectively pro-choice. 20 weeks. At 20 weeks, a baby, you know, has eyes that are formed and the heart is beating and even sometimes is sucking his or her thumb. That is terrible. It's an effectively pro-choice position. We cannot have a rhino candidate who caves and runs away from his pro-life, so-called pro-life principles, and when he gets a little bit of pressure from a reporter, what else will he cave on? Now, those are not the kind of candidates that the people want. Now, they want strong America First leaders who are going to stand up for our conservative principles and do so boldly and stand up for our Constitution. You know, I'm a constitutional lawyer. I worked for a number of years at Alliance Defending Freedom. It's a Christian nonprofit law firm that fights for free speech and religious freedom in cases all over the country. So I look forward to standing up for our constitutional rights and working with other Republican AGs to do that. So this is an important race, and we're going to send a strong message on the 9th.
In about 1995, I think it was, I went to Phoenix to speak for something and ended up sitting in a very small little office with Alan Sears, who had just started Alliance Defending Freedom. That's the founder, as you know. And so, I mean, I couldn't believe how small the office was and then what this organization has become nationwide. And you were an attorney for them. I mean, that's a very reputable, well-known, conservative, defending constitutional rights and religious liberty organization. And you were one of their attorneys.
Yep, I was an in-house attorney there and worked on cases all across the country. And you're right, it's a fantastic organization. It was tough to leave there, but I felt called to come and to run for attorney general in my home state. But we can do that same kind of work here in Minnesota, the work of standing up for the First Amendment, you know, for religious freedom, for free speech, for life, for the family. We can do all of that by standing up for the Constitution from the office of the Attorney General, right? So whether it's intervening in a case or filing a friend of the court brief or bringing a lawsuit on behalf of the state, you know, suing a Democrat governor, hopefully we'll have a Republican governor here in Minnesota after this next election. But if there was a Democrat, you know, suing them if they do something wrong or violate constitutional rights, those are all important things we can do to stand up and to defend our founding principles. And that's what I'm all about. And that's what was so great about Alliance Defending Freedom, just a fantastic organization. And now I'm just absolutely privileged to work for Mike Lindell and to be a general counsel at MyPillow and working with him on so many different things. What a wonderful company, and it's an honor to work for him. And he's a tremendous leader who is fighting for our country, as you well know, and working alongside him, it's been fantastic too. So you know I'm going to be strong on election integrity and do what I say because I've got a record of doing that. I've got the experience. My opponent, by the way, my GOP primary opponent, has never been in a courtroom. This guy has zero courtroom experience.
Wow.
Not sure how he's going to take over an office of 150 lawyers, most of whom are litigators. That doesn't make any sense. But, you know, were he the nominee, he wouldn't get that far because the Democrats could obliterate him just by pointing out that he's never been in a courtroom. You know, so he's a very weak candidate, moderate, And we got to send the message that the establishment elite rhinos aren't going to control the Republican Party here in Minnesota anymore, or the Republican Party in our country. I am the America First candidate, and we're going to stand up for all the great principles that Donald Trump fought for.
Absolutely. Good for you, Doug. Let's talk about Keith Ellison a little bit, because he, of course, has aligned himself with Muslim Brotherhood, has he not?
Yeah, Keith Ellison, he like I said, he is terrible. He has connections to Ilhan Omar, and the squad. And, he was in Congress, right? And then he retired from Congress specifically in order to run for attorney general, backed by Soros money. He's a radical leader of the national left. And he's one of the leaders of the Defund the Police movement nationwide. This is the guy who supported a ballot initiative in Minneapolis to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. Now, fortunately, that ballot initiative failed, and it was rejected in Minneapolis, praise the Lord. But he supported that initiative. They wanted to dismantle the police department and replace it with a Department of Public Safety that may use some peace officers at some times for certain things. How ridiculous. It was just emboldening criminals, right? And so this guy has been fighting a war against the police. He's taken over several prosecutions in-house at the office of the Attorney General's office, but all but one of them, to my knowledge, involve police officer defendants. So he's selectively enforcing the law and engaging in a war on the police. And, when you selectively enforce the law and only use it to go after your political enemies, well, that's banana republic kind of stuff. And if we have if the law turns into a political weapon and is used as a political weapon, then we're going to lose all of our freedoms, and we're going to lose the Constitution, and we're going to lose our republic. So we can't allow that to happen. We've got to retire Keith Ellison.
Absolutely. All right. And, of course, he's also the one that held up the book on Antifa and bragged about it and put it out there on social media, right?
That's right. He did. He is far, far left. He held up that Antifa book, and he is far, far left. And I think the people of Minnesota are going to reject him because he is a radical leader of the left. But first, let's win the primary on August 9th, and we'll go on to defeat Ellison. I almost beat him last time around 2018. We came within about 3.5% of beating Keith Ellison, and we actually set a record. Got more votes than any Republican candidate has ever received in a midterm election in the history of the state of Minnesota. So we got a good, strong base, and we've been building from that base for 18 months, and we are on that path to victory. But we need support to get through this primary and to defeat Ellison. So DougWardlowAG.com is the website.
Excellent. So we haven't named the guy you're running against, so there's no reason to give him a name ID, but who do you think put him up to run? If he's a rhino and he's so weak, it almost is like they put up the weakest guy they could. So if they could fund him enough to get him to be the candidate, they could guarantee that he would lose to the Democrat. It sounds like a setup. I mean, why would you run a guy that's never even argued in court? Why would you run a guy like that to be attorney general?
That is a really good question, and I'm not sure what the answer is. It does almost seem like a setup, though. He got into the race very late, propped up by some rhino donor and the rhino establishment donor class and some of the elites who like to control things in our state party. And they've been pushing him ever since that time. And the question does arise, though, why are they selecting such a weak candidate, and why are they propping him up, and why are they so desperate to defeat me? They are pouring resources into this primary like they never have for any other primary, the people that are in charge of the state party. It is absolutely crazy, and trying to push this guy through to get that victory. But he will fail against Keith Ellison. He absolutely will fail. He's never run for any office ever before. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's never been in a courtroom before. He's never represented a client in court. And so he really has a very poor resume for this, and he will be destroyed by the Democrats. So you got to wonder, whose side are these rhino establishment elites that are backing him? Whose side are they really on? I think they're more interested in maintaining their power over the party and their positions than they are about actually winning and actually standing up for the conservative principles. And they certainly don't want anyone who is associated with the America First movement. They don't want that at all. So that's what we're up against. We've got to win this victory for the America First movement, for all the principles and policies that Donald Trump fought for, and send a strong message on August 9th that the people of this state and of this country aren't going to be lorded over by these rhino establishment elites. It's the time for moderate Republicans and Democrat lights. That is over. We need to reject that and lead boldly and stand up for what we believe and make the argument and bring people to our side. That's how we win, and then we need to govern accordingly. We cannot squander the opportunity that we have a red wave coming, right? The question is, are we going to harness it with candidates who are going to get into office and then follow through on what they say and take bold action starting on day one, or squander it with moderate candidates who will get in there and do nothing. And if that happens, then all those folks that are getting into politics for the first time, who are working on Republican campaigns for the first time, those people are gone if the candidates don't follow through once they get elected and act boldly. So we have a huge opportunity here. But it's also, there is a peril that if the RINO establishment can put through candidates who aren't solid conservatives and aren't going to take bold action, it will squander this opportunity. And then we'll pass that point of no return, like you said before, and we're not getting it back.
Absolutely. I was just looking up where you were talking. I was looking up your state constitution, the Constitution of the State of Minnesota, signed August 29th, 1857, it says. And it starts out the preamble. We, the people of the state of Minnesota, grateful to God for our civil and religious liberty and desiring to perpetuate its blessings and secure the same to ourselves and our posterity, meaning our children, our children's children, do ordain and establish this constitution. And as I go on and read your state constitution of Minnesota, like is so many states, it doesn't sound a whole lot different than the Constitution of the United States. Looks to defend private property. It looks to defend religious liberty, conscience. I think the interesting thing is a lot of us never really think about our state constitutions that much. And I think we should think about them a lot more. Do you agree?
I agree 100%. That's very important. And it's important that the Constitution starts out with God. You know, it anchors everything in our Judeo-Christian heritage. That's, you know, our rights are created by God. And then the Constitution is created by men in order to protect the God-given rights that we have and form government with checks and balances and with the separation of powers and with those textual barriers to make sure that government doesn't take over and trample on those rights. And it's so important because the state constitutions provide another layer of protection for our rights. You know, in addition to the federal constitution, in a lot of cases, state constitutions provide more protection for certain rights than the federal constitution. For example, the Minnesota Constitution's protection of religious freedom actually provides more protection than the First Amendment's protection of religious freedom. So it's important that state attorneys general and everybody pay more attention to state constitutions and the rights that we have there. And, you know, unfortunately, in our state Supreme Court here in Minnesota, back I think it was in 1995, the Doe versus Gomez decision, they found, kind of like Roe versus Wade on the federal level, they invented and created a whole cloth, a so-called right to abortion they discovered in our state constitution. Of course, it's not there. That's terrible law. So we need an attorney general who's going to fight against that and try to get that precedent overturned, just like the historic Dobbs decision overturned Roe versus Wade. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to fight to overturn that Doe versus Gomez decision and stand up for life here in Minnesota so that the people's elected representatives can pass laws of prohibiting and limiting abortion. That's very important. We've got to stand up for the lives of the unborn. I don't think my opponent would do that. He's backing away from his pro-life principles. But yeah, that state constitution is so vitally important because it's that extra layer of protection and it defines all the different branches of government. Just like we have a deep state and an administrative state problem at the federal level, we got the same problem in every single state in the union with our state governments being too bloated and being run by bureaucrats. And we need to stand up for separation of powers, and that's all defined by and controlled by state constitutions. So very important. You're 100% right there, Brandon.
Yeah. Well, I'm just reading through your state constitution, and you're right. I got to the 16th. I guess what is your 16th Bill of Rights? And the Bill of Rights as your state list of many of them start out like our Bill of Rights for the Constitution. But you're right. Number 16 on religious liberty is pretty clear. You know, we're not going to establish a state religion, but neither are we going to should be construed as to exercise acts of licentiousness. When is the last time you heard the word licentiousness used? Right.
Right,
or justify practices inconsistent with the peace or safety of the state, nor shall any money be drawn from the treasury for the benefit of any religious societies or religious or theological seminaries, which is fine. But the problem is now what we see is they actually are using state money to promote a religion that the Supreme Court ruled in 1961 to a decision handed down, footnote to decision handed down, humanism is a religion. So we see a one-sidedness in funding of religion in our schools. But don't, you know, so what I'm saying is we're for the separation of church and state. If by that definition you mean there should be a high wall between the state establishing a religion and free exercise thereof. But we're not against the separation of church and state if you mean it. We can't have our right to publicly proclaim our faith. That's the ACLU version. The Constitution of the Founding Fathers version was, yeah, practice all you want. But we're not going to give preference over one denomination over another. But the general principles of Christianity, have at it. We want to promote the general principles of Christianity without getting into denominational arguments and establishing a state church. But they did not mean we couldn't have the proclamation of the general principles of Christianity, because your state constitution starts out immediately talking about God, grateful to God for our civil religious liberty, and then it says government is instituted for the security, benefit, and protection of the people, in whom all political power is inherent, together with the right to alter, modify, or reform such government whenever the public good may require it. You know, again, I just go back to the fact, I think we've done a big disservice not educating more of our people on our own state constitutions.
Now, that's exactly right. You know, you're exactly right. You know, religious freedom, yeah, the state constitution of Minnesota and the federal constitution, you know, Congress can't establish a religion, and neither can the state of Minnesota under the 14th Amendment, you know, and the First Amendment, and or under the state constitution. That bars it as well. You can't establish a state church, but you also have free exercise of religion. So that means you can worship God in the manner that you see fit in public and in private. You can do it in a public forum, you know, and the government can't stop you from doing that. And that's why the school, the prayer case involving the coach who would have prayers after football games on the 50-yard line that people would join into, the Supreme Court just handed down not too long ago. That was such an important case, standing up for the principle that, you know, prayer is okay, even on school grounds, even on public property. That is free exercise of religion, and the government cannot suppress that or stop that. And that's protected by the state constitution and by the federal constitution. So it's very important that we look at these state constitutions and look and say, okay, where are the protections that they provide in addition to the federal constitution? Very, very important. So that's a great point. And we got to do that. And, you know, and as Attorney General, I look forward to helping educate our legislators about our state constitution and about constitutional law in general, and making sure that they're playing within the boundaries that are laid out for legislators. That's really important. And we need to make sure that they're not giving up too much authority to the executive branch, delegating too much authority to bureaucrats who aren't elected, things like that. Really important that we guard those boundaries carefully and guard our constitutional rights. And that's what I'm going to do as Attorney General here. And hopefully we can be a model for attorneys general around the country.
Absolutely. All right. Well, before we let you go, are you campaigning at the Minnesota State Fair this year?
Absolutely. So that's at the end of August. So we're going to win the primary on August 9th. Then I'll be at the State Fair again. It was great being at the State Fair last year. It's the largest state fair in the country. The Texas State Fair, depending on how you count, is about the same size. But yes, it's a huge state fair. It's a huge event. It's the great Minnesota get together, as they call it. So I will definitely be there, but we're going to win this primary on August 9th first. So everybody take a look at the website, ask for support as we move forward here and send a strong message and stand up for America First principles.
Well, we'll know a lot about you by this next answer. What's your favorite food at the Minnesota State Fair?
Oh, my favorite food. Well, I like the Pronto Pups and also the corn roast that they have there is fantastic. And also lefse. It's a great Norwegian Swedish delicacy, potato cakes. That's good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's Norwegian Scandinavian country. Of course, the mini donuts there are to die for, as you know.
Yes, they are. Yep. Yeah.
When my wife and I got married in 1991, we would sometimes some years we would go to the Minnesota State Fair 5 or 6 times.
Oh wow!
it's one of the top state fairs in the country. It's humongous. You can spend all day and still not see it all. It's great. I haven't been probably now in 20 years because I don't live up there anymore. I was born and raised here in the Mid South, so I came back here to the Mid South. I should say raised because I moved all over the country, but spent a lot of time up there in Minnesota and love the Minnesota State Fair and all the agricultural buildings and all it has to offer. It has. I think the best state fair. Now, I haven't been there in 20 years, but I'll say when I went for a lot of years, it's got the best state fair I've ever been to. Love it. It had a lot of great memories at the state fair right off Snelling Avenue. So we're going to look forward to you winning the primary and then shaking a lot of hands at the Minnesota State Fair.
Absolutely. Come on back up and visit us at the fair. It'd be fantastic.
It'd be a lot cooler than here in Memphis. I promise you that. So give everybody your website address again, please.
Yep, it's DougWardlowAG.com. So it's DougWardlowAG.com.
That's right. And of course, you can also get to go see the queen or whatever she was with her bust carved in cheese. Was that the...
Some dairy-related queen. Yeah, there's all sorts of things.
And she would sit and have her bust made in cheese. Yeah. It's got a lot of character, a lot of fun stuff, Minnesota State Fair. It really does. It's a great state fair. And the thing about the state fair is a lot of the buildings are permanent, so they got some really beautiful, great structures. And anyway, if you guys, let me just say, if you are ever looking to go to Minnesota, You should time it around the state fair because I think you would thoroughly enjoy it. So anyway.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Great having you with us tonight as always. And I hope folks will visit your website, Doug.
All right. Thanks so much, Brandon. Great to be on.
You too. Thank you, Doug. And I think there's a MyPillow booth, by the way, too, at the state Minnesota State Fair. And there, Doug?
Yep, there absolutely is. Stop by that, too.
Yeah. So you can stop by that, too. All right. Thanks, Doug.
Very good.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Thank you, Doug. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We'll be joined by someone who's been with me before out of South Dakota. Very important guest. Can talk to us about how we can get control of some of these elected officials that are going off the reservation. I'd invite you to get a pen and paper, get ready to take down her website, as well as some of the terminology we're going to use and define. This is a very important interview. Mike called me today and said, hey, let's get Jessica on the show. And I said, I've had Jessica on before, her and two of her friends, and this is a very important topic we're going to have with her. So I want you to get a pen and paper and get ready to get educated and empowered. Empowered, because this is going to empower you folks to give some accountability, bring accountability to your elected officials, and you can do it. You're going to find out how in just a minute. And Mike, we're hoping he'll touch down with his plane and be able to join us here in just a little bit as well. But the show must keep going in the meantime. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with Jessica out of South Dakota. And a very important topic we'll explain to you on the other side of the break. You're watching The Lindell Report. I'm Brandon House, in for Mike Lindell. We'll be right back.
You're watching Lindell TV.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank each and every one of you for your support of Lindell TV, Frank's Beach, My Pillow, My Store, and the online store right here at Frank's Beach. Today, we have the best specials ever. My Pillow bed sheets, these are my Percale model that just came in. These are normally $89.98. We are, for a limited time and a limited quantity, once they're gone, $39.98 with your promo code. That's for the queen size. King size, $49.98 with your promo code. You need to check these out. You're never going to find bed sheets like this anywhere. Now, the next one we have, here's a surprise, introducing My Pillow sandals and slides. These are normally $79.98, only $39.98 with your promo code L66. These have a patented gel technology. You wear these, it's like walking on a cloud. There's no sandals or slides like this in the world. Now, here we go. Your bed, whether it's a new bed, old bed, doesn't matter. The mattress toppers, the MyPillow mattress toppers, on sale for the lowest price ever, ever. This is an example of the queen size, regularly $399.98, $159.99 with promo code L66. Now, the next item here, there it is, my slippers, $139.98, $49.98 with your promo code. This is a blowout special. Once they're gone, okay? Now we have, here it is, Walmart canceled us. This is the 1988 MyPillow they would have got. You guys have been great support of all my employees at MyPillow to keep making them. 1988 with your promo code. And we have hundreds of other items here at the Frank Speech store. You guys get up there now, get it. Buy today with L66. You do it today and I'm gonna send you a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. We're now joined by Jessica out of South Dakota, and she's been a guest before. Jessica, welcome back. Thank you for joining us here on the Lindell Report.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be back.
Yes, absolutely. Right up front, give us the website. It was about bonds and insurance. What was that website again? I was just trying to look it up.
Well, that's not our website, but the Bonds for the Win website is bondsforthewin.com. And then our canvassing website is SD, like South Dakota, canvassing.com.
SDcanvassing.com. All right. And what you guys did was you worked with or learned from bondsforthewin.com. You kind of learned from them, right?
We did. Yes. We did a lot of research and you know, our elected officials, we found out are violating the law and didn't really care to have a meeting with us or do any discussion. So we learned about Bonds for the Win and In South Dakota, our elected officials are covered by surety bonds. So we FOIA'd the surety bond information from the state and from the county levels. And we had been attending county commission meetings and putting a lot of pressure on them because they knew we didn't want to to use absentee ballot drop boxes. And we had pointed out over and over that they are against the law in South Dakota. So we've got two counties, or two big counties over here on this side of the state, Lincoln and Minnehaha, to pull their drop boxes. However, we still have some being used in South Dakota, and they have not pulled them. Our Attorney General's office has not made a decision on that. And so I believe letters of intent will be going out to those county auditors shortly.
Okay. Now, weren't you also running for office? You ran for Lincoln County Auditor, did you not?
I did, yes.
And tell me how that went.
Well, it came out 60-40 at the end of the night, actually 58-42. And my friend that ran in Yankton County, her race came out 58-42, absolutely the same. However, we were able to get Leah Anderson as the Republican candidate for Minnehaha County Auditor. She does have a Democrat challenger in November, but we are really hoping she's going to win in Minnehaha County.
Okay, so that was your first time to ever run for office, wasn't it, Jessica?
Yes.
Okay, and would you do it again?
You know, we'll see. That's an awful lot of work, and immediately after the election, on primary election day, I was a candidate myself. However, I'm the state lead of the South Dakota Canvassing Group, so my phone rang for about 14 hours straight on primary election day. It was like a fraud hotline, so we went right back to work the next day. We had an open house at the library so people could come and tell us what happened and fill out affidavits, because we had a lot of issues with the primary election.
So that was June 7th, if memory serves right. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, June 7th. So do you think there was shenanigans going on with your race?
Well, how would we know? They won't let us have any of the information. I am able to tell the citizens, anybody listening from South Dakota, it was a hostile environment in Lincoln County. We had watchers there watching the count. They were immediately hostile to them when they showed up to watch, and they have every right to watch. In fact, it's in state statute that they may watch, and they may ask questions as long as they're not interfering with the count. However, the state's attorney instructed all of the workers there not to speak to the watchers and not to answer any questions, and that any questions would run through him, and then he refused to answer any questions. And they also had the sheriff there intimidating our watchers. And I have affidavits to attest to the fact.
All right. Talk to me about what's going on in your state more than, other than what you've already shared, and maybe some action points that you can help us and our listeners, because our audience is very engaged. They want action points. They want to be involved. They want to be proactive. So what is your particular message tonight in this interview?
Well, I think what Mike wanted me to talk about was the fact that we, had done the FOIA request, which is a Freedom of Information Act, letters that we sent to the counties for election data. And we wanted the cast vote records and the machine logs. And Minnehaha, Pennington, and Lincoln counties, which is where we started with this project, denied our requests. So we took that denial to the Board of Hearing Examiners, and we appealed that decision. And the Board of Hearing Examiners also denied our request, and she just parroted what the state's attorneys had quoted and denied our request. So we disagreed with that decision, and kind of behind that, we started a FOIA round two. So we sent out letters to all 66 counties in South Dakota, and all of the letters started coming back exactly the same. And they all are denying our request based on that Board of Hearing Examiners decision. And so I think I sent you one of these letters here from maybe Aurora County or Pennington County. If you look at the Pennington County auditor's letter there, she is quoting the Board of Hearing Examiner's decision to deny our request. And so they're sending that out. And we thought if we let this stand, we will never get information on our elections ever again. So we decided to file a lawsuit in court to let a judge decide what is a public record. And we know in South Dakota, if it is not specifically stated as something that is not a public record, it is a public record. There is no law banning us from having these documents. However, the state's attorneys are quoting in their letters that ESNS considers this proprietary information. Well, we don't care what ESNS
right, exactly. What do they say is proprietary about it? Did they say?
Well, it might violate, you know, some of their trade secrets and whatever, but we have these documents from different counties in South Dakota. We have a machine log and it is simply a data report. There is no trade secrets. There is no usernames and passwords. There's nothing like that. It's simply a data report. And we know with the cast vote records, it's just simply a spreadsheet, has no trade secrets on it. And it does not violate the secrecy of the vote, which is what is coming back in these response letters, that it's gonna violate the secrecy of the vote. And that doesn't even make sense, because when you put your ballot in the box and it's locked and it leaves the voter, there is no identifying information as to, you know, the voter. So it's completely ridiculous, and they are, you know, protecting the vendor and asking the vendor how to respond to us, and we think the law would be on our side. And so we're just doing this so that we don't have, you know, so we have some transparency, which now we don't have anything like that. No transparency at all.
Yeah, I'm looking at the letter here, Office of Aurora State's Attorney, and all these, I mean, they give you a lot of bullet points. So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, were they even saying, okay, if you pay a sum of money, you can get it? Or are they just saying, no, it's not available at all? Because I know in some states, they're having to pay humongous amounts of money for some data.
Right. Well, some of the things that they can't deny us, that they can't find a state statute to bury it in, they're going to charge us $1 a page and $50 an hour. We're already paying their salaries. And, you know, $1 a page is like 10 times what you can get at the library or somewhere else. So I think it's extortion, and they're trying to get us to go away, and they don't want us to have this information. But they don't know how relentless we are, and we aren't going to give up. But it was interesting.
So tell me what you would do with the data. If you got it, tell me the process you would go through to how you would use the data.
Well, I'm not a data analyst, but we are connected with data analysts that can review the cast vote records. And, you know, it's the audit trail. And so yep. what they're doing now with our elections, they shut off the audit trail, or nobody knows how to retrieve the audit trail and never has been instructed or never thought for themselves to look at it. So there is no verification. And in South Dakota, we're one of four states, I think, in the entire nation that does not have any kind of post-election audit. So we throw our ballots through the machines, they get sealed in the basement somewhere, and we never have any kind of verification that a hand count of these same ballots matches the machine. So we just wow. want a little transparency, and we have no reason to have to trust the vendor or our elected officials. We think it's up to them to prove to us that the elections were fair and free and secure, which they don't want to have anything to do with proving to us that there isn't something funny going on there.
Now, let's talk about, unless you have something else you want to share, can I switch to the issue of the bonds?
Well, I think what Mike wanted me to point out today was with the lawsuit, we have state's attorneys that have made the decisions to deny the records requests and, you know, wrote the letters to us and whatnot. And now we had filed against Lincoln, Pennington, and Minnehaha counties in court, and they now posted a notice that they hired, so they retained a private law firm as legal counsel to represent them with our own tax dollars to fight their own citizens from getting their own information.
So, oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, and this is South Dakota, folks.
And you just would not think about that with South Dakota. I've spent a lot of time in South Dakota. I know Mike has as well. I mean, over the years, I've spent a lot of time in Huron, South Dakota. And this is not kind of the thing you would think of when you think of South Dakota, is it?
No, and, you know, I had no idea anything like this was going on. It's much easier to be, you know, blissfully ignorant and have no idea. But I think we've been asleep for too long. And this has been sliding downhill, and now the people here are great, and the people here are conservative, and the people here want our elections, you know, to be safe and secure and transparent. It's our officials that are the problem.
Yes, yes. And some of them are so-called Republicans too, aren't they?
Every one of these people that are denying our requests are Republicans.
Yeah. Every one of them?
Yes.
Yeah, every one of them. Okay. So if they have hired, if the counties, correct me if I'm wrong, the counties have hired private attorneys to now deal with your requests.
Right. Right. And we have how many lawyers on staff being paid, you know, salaries in these counties in the state's attorney's office? It's completely ridiculous. They're using more money, you know, to fight us instead of just giving us the what is a public record. So I thought the citizens of South Dakota might find that interesting.
Yeah, well, yes. Now, have you guys had to go and hire an attorney to help you then?
We did have to hire an attorney. We considered representing ourselves in court, but we want to be taken seriously, and this isn't something that we can lose, because if we lose, you know, like I said, we don't have free elections anymore. They are owned by ESNS, and whatever happens, happens, and there is no verification, and I'm not okay with that.
No, absolutely you're not okay with that. Okay, so is there a website or anything where people can go and track what you're doing or support what you're doing?
Yeah, so it's SD. Like South Dakota, SD Canvassing, mm-hmm. CanvassIng.com, and click on the donate tab. We do need funds to pay these legal fees, and we will be having another case coming shortly that will include the FOIA round two. And so what's coming up next is hopefully an order by the judge in Second Circuit Court to preserve the election records. And we know as of September 3, 2022, they will be able to delete the 2020 election records. And in fact, in some of these denial letters in the last paragraph, they state that they get to delete this information after 22 months without any review. So basically I take that as, you know, they're threatening us that they get to delete this. And so we need an order in court, and hopefully the judge will issue a preservation order shortly.
I'm looking over your website now, sdcanvassing.com. Mm-hmm. Here you have gift wrapped opportunity for fraud. That's an interesting, I just clicked on latest election news. This caught my attention. You guys write, before the November 2020 election, the EAC notified ESNS that its poll books were hackable. Then at least 19 secretaries of state were notified. 19 secretaries
of
state were notified.
Guess who's at the top of the shown list?
South Dakota?
Guess who's at the top of the list? The first name on the list is Kia Warren with the Secretary of State's office. She's still there. She's still the election coordinator. And no one was notified of the hackable poll books. In fact, we FOIA'd their emails, and of course they denied that as well. But we just kind of wanted them to know, we know what's in your email. So it's interesting, the Secretary of State's office won't speak to us anymore. And they said, well, why don't we just let the Attorney General's office handle it. So they won't talk to us anymore without legal.
Who is your attorney general?
Well, right. Our attorney general was impeached. And then now we have a...
Whoa. What was the attorney general's name that was impeached?
Jason Raunsberg. It looks like Ravensburg, okay, R-A-V-N-S-B-O-R-G.
Okay. Who was the attorney general in your state that ran for governor in 2018, was running for governor in 2018?
Oh, dear. Now you're going to put me on the spot.
No, I'm not going to put you in the spot, because who would even know that, right? I mean, most people don't. But I'm going to look it up, and you're going to tell you why. No, I'm going to tell you why it's important. I mean, 2018, that's a long time ago. I should know, because we dealt with him. He was running for attorney general in South Dakota in April of 2018. I'm looking for it. I'll tell you why it matters. Because we had a conference that we did where a gunman showed up at our conference in South Dakota. In fact, I got a letter today from one of our listeners whose friend was sitting right next to the guy. But he showed up at our Worldview Weekend conference and threatened me and one of my speakers and brandished 5 weapons. He had 2 weapons on him, but then he was removed by our security, off-duty Sioux Falls, South Dakota police, and then sat out in his car and brandished 5 weapons, including 2 semi-automatics, and threatened us. And Steve Haygard, who was the former Speaker of the House in South Dakota, is a good friend of mine, was there in the room along with a state senator, and they were on the phone with the within a few hours, and then the next several days, trying to convince the Attorney General of the state then to take action and pick this up. But it became so many people were scared to death of it because of the news media. But the point I'm making is, unfortunately, it sounds like South Dakota has a history here of having trouble with their attorney generals.
Yes, I don't know if you're talking about Marty Jackley, because I don't know that story.
Yeah, yes, I'm pretty sure that was him.
Okay, but so he is going to be our attorney general again. So I guess we didn't learn from our mistakes the first time. Yes, really.
Yeah, because he was attorney general running for governor, but didn't make it, and now you're saying he's going to go and run for attorney general again. And is he going to? He's the Republican.
He was nominated at the convention. So yeah, he was nominated at the convention as the Republican candidate.
If past performance is indicative of future performance, I don't think you're going to get much help.
I'm not really counting on it, and that's why. You know, at every level, we haven't gotten any help, and we realize no one's coming to save us, and it's we the people. And so we got to find out, you know, the ways that the citizens can find our rights and use them to hold our officials accountable. And so we got to be, I guess, creative, and we've tried to find the ways that we can make a difference.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to your website, because I noticed you said something very interesting on your website. And so you say, before the 2020 November election, the EAC notified ESNS that its poll books were hackable. Then at least 19 secretaries of state were notified. They're shown in the image provided. We have many more emails in this chain, and they prove that many states knew full well that their elections were hackable because of the electronics they were using, but they used them anyway. In one of the emails, one of the secretaries of state replied, quote, use them this time, but you have to have it fixed before next time. There you go. That's security.
Right. Yep. And so, like I said, in that email, Kia Warren of the Secretary of State's office, the elections division, is at the top of the list. And so they knew, and they used the poll books in that election, and they are still using them. And matter of fact, still promoting them at the auditors' conferences in Pierre. The Secretary of State has the vendor ESNS there, and they are promoting poll books and trying to get them to spread across the state, which we know are completely insecure and are the best way to steal an election.
Wow. Okay. So you went on your website. Again, folks, you can all see this at sdcanvassing.com, because it's not just about South Dakota. You go on to mention the states where their poll books were hackable: South Dakota, Maryland, Wisconsin, Illinois, Wyoming, Virginia, Indiana, Arizona, Michigan, Texas, Delaware, D.C., my state of Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Kentucky, Kansas, Nevada, Washington, Florida, Missouri, Alabama, Iowa, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Idaho. When we say, though, poll books are hackable, help our audience understand. Normally, when we would go in to vote years gone by, you'd go in and you're say, you get in a line based on the first letter of your last name, and they break it down. So, you know, A through F go here, and G through whatever go here. And so you go to the table based on the line of the first letter of your last name. They have a big book. They look you up. They verify your address, and you sign it, and you go vote. But that was paper. Now these poll books are now like computers or iPads, and you're saying that those books are hackable. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they are hackable, yes. And so in South Dakota, there are some counties that use the paper poll books like you were describing, and there's some counties that use the electronic poll books, and they are iPads. We know iPads, expire after a short amount of time. They cost a bunch of money and they expire, in no time. And they connect to a wireless network or a Verizon hotspot. And, any person with a cell phone that knows how to hack something can be standing there, within reach and hack it in less than 5 minutes. And in fact, someone that we partner with, Rick Weibel of Midwest Swamp Watch, he does a lot of work in Minnesota, and he has a video on his website of hacking a poll book in a short amount of time. So anybody can go on YouTube and figure out how to do it.
Now, explain to our audience, what do they do when they hack a poll book? What are they looking for? What are they doing in real time?
Well, so it's a live updated reporting of the voter rolls. And so on election night, people check in to vote. And so when, people who want to use these for bad things can look through the voter histories ahead of time and know who typically doesn't vote, who hasn't voted in 10 years, whatever, they can either one, check them in and fill in some ballots and count them for them, or they can go out and so people can be watching these in the background too. And so like ESNS or whatever, people can be watching these update live in the background and then put out calls and send people out to go get people to vote and tell them how to vote, pay them, whatever, pick them up in a van, whatever, and have them go and vote too. So we know all these things have happened, but it's a manipulation of the voter rolls online.
Wow. Okay. By the way, you do know who my friend Steve Haygard is?
Yes. And I'd consider him a friend too.
Okay. And you know that Steve, of course, then Steve's an attorney. And Steve, I think, has been very involved in this fight. So is your group now having to hire an attorney now that the counties have hired an attorney to deal with you guys? Are you guys now having to hire an attorney to deal with their private attorney?
Well, we hired an attorney first to appeal their denial. And so we had filed that in court, and now the counties responded with a notice of appearance that they retained the Boyce Law Firm to represent them. So I just find that interesting that they already have legal counsel and they're gonna waste some more taxpayer dollars to fight us instead of just giving us the records.
So we FOIA'd the contract
and we wanna know how much our counties paid for this retainer. So that'll be coming shortly, South Dakota. We're going to find out. We're going to let you know.
So people in South Dakota or wherever else, but particularly people in South Dakota that want to support you to help you with all your expenses to do this on behalf of the people of South Dakota, they can go to sdcanvassing.com, sdcanvassing.com. You'll see a button right at the very top of the page, donate, and that helps you guys do what you're doing on behalf of the folks in South Dakota that want free and fair elections, correct?
That is correct. We do, we've been sending certified letters, so that costs about $7 a letter. And then, of course, if we're going to pay for some of these documents, we need money to pay for that since they are charging us an arm and a leg. And of course, the legal fees aren't cheap, but We just want free and fair elections. And like I said, if we let that Board of Hearing Examiners decision stand and that's it, we've got nothing left. And if we would happen to lose in Second Circuit Court, we'll take it to the Supreme Court.
Good for you. Good for you. All right. All right. So in closing, Jessica, let me have you mention real quick Bonds for the Win. I want you to give people quickly how they can get involved, because we promised another, you know, the action point before you came on, because I found that so fascinating. I've only got 5 minutes left, but explain Bonds for the Win and what people can do, because I know this was new to me when I heard it.
Yeah, so I think we had walked through this together before. So you go to bondsforthewin.com. And what we did and kind of how we learned how to do this, we went to Surety Bonds. And so that Surety Bonds tab and then the step-by-step guide. And it kind of tells you all the steps that you need to do to file these letters and make claims against our bonds. But first, so it's the first step is to file a FOIA request for their bond information. So you might have to do a little research in your state or your county. But in South Dakota, the county officials' bonds are held at the county auditor's office, and the state officials' bonds are held at the Secretary of State's office. So we tried to FOIA. We did FOIA our Secretary of State's bonds, and we got the runaround for about a month where nobody seemed to know where it was at. Well, we sent them the state statute that says it is in your office. Please just give it to us. So it took a while, and you do have to be persistent and relentless and follow up, because if you're not noisy, they will completely ignore you. But all of the steps are in there. They have something for every state. They have a letter for you. Written with your state laws in the step-by-step guide and for your state. So it's very easy to do.
And for those who don't understand, what you're doing is everyone that's elected has to be bonded, have this insurance. And correct me if I'm wrong, if I remember correctly, if they're doing something they know is illegal or unethical, they can be sued personally, and if the suit is above what they're insured for, then they have to pay it out personally. So once you notify them of the problem, like illegal drop boxes or whatever it might be, if they don't take remedy and deal with that issue, now they can be held liable. Do I have that right?
That's how I understand it too, and I'm not sure if it's the same everywhere. We've only been, you know, of course, working in South Dakota, so I would do research in your own state, and everybody's is probably a little bit different, but yes, they should be covered by surety bonds. Some places is a blanket bond. And you know, some of them might have something like a professional liability insurance too. So it kind of depends where you're at. But let me tell you, it does put them on notice, and maybe they'll start listening to us because they sure like to ignore you.
I bet it does. Well, more information on that, Bonds, B-O-N-D-S, Bonds for the Win, W-I-N, Bonds for the Win, W-I-N, B-O-D-S-F-O-R-T-H-E-W-I-N.com, Bonds for the Win.com. Now, again, Jessica's website, just so we're not confusing people, is SD for South Dakota, SD Canvassing, and that's C-A-N-V-A-S-S-I-N-G.com, right?
That's correct.
Well, as always, Jessica, it was great to have you on, and please keep us updated. Thank you for all you're doing and for helping lead the way for others.
Yeah, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And if anybody out there needs help, send us an email through our website and we can get you started where you live.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you, Jessica. Have a great night.
Good night.
All right, folks, before we go, we were hoping Mike could join us, but apparently he didn't touch down in time to do that. Remember now, this broadcast comes to you free of charge, but as you can imagine, it takes a lot to keep the Lindell Report, Lindell TV, going since Mike and I launched it April 19th of last year. One way you can support us and, well, get something in return is to go to mystore.com and shop around, but also check out my coffee. I'm loving it. I've been drinking it every day since we got it last week. The guys in the control room love it. We love it. 100% organic. We love that. Use that promo code COFFEE77. You can only order it at mystore.com right now. Coffee77, also mypillow.com, and use that promo code L77. Support Lindell TV and Mike's work. Thanks for listening and watching. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.